We're beginning the book of Judges today, and it's really what the theme of the book of Judges is everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Think about this. I really believe that there is not a book in the Bible that better has a description of the United States of America and the church in America than the book of Judges. I believe with all of my heart, the attitude of the individualistic society that we live in and the individualistic way that we perform and do and attend church is that we have this ideal that everyone does what's right in their own eyes and nobody's going to tell me what to do. I got an amen all the way from the bathroom. Did y'all hear that? Yes, it comes back. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. But the reality is that when we do what we think is... At this time, children's church is dismissed. If you are going to children's church, you may go at this time. All right. The reality is, though, is there's only whether you think that you think on an individual basis and you have your own thoughts, there's really two ways of thinking. And I want you to get this. One leads to life and one leads to death. It's the bottom line. And when we do what's right in our own eyes, it takes us to a place of death. But when we allow the authority of God's Word in Christ to have rule and reign in our life, it brings life. So, this is how Judges is set up. It's an interesting book. Really, the last four chapters of this book are a summary of kind of the life, of how life looked all throughout the book of Judges. So today we're going to look at chapter 17 through 21. It won't take us till more than 3 o'clock. No, I'm kidding. We'll move quickly. We're going to look at Judges 17 through 21. Then we're going to come back to Judges chapter 2 because I want to answer the question, how? How do we get to a place? How did we get to a place in America where that every man does what is right in his own eyes, and we'll describe some of that? How did we get to that place in our own life when every man does what is right in their own eyes? How did we get there? And I will finish that, and then from there on out, we'll be looking at 5 different judges as we go through this book. So chapter 17 of Judges, you can look with me in verse number 6. It says this in verse number 6. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. The verses before this, we get introduced to a man by the name of Micah. And Micah and his mother have some money, and they take that money and they make some idols. They have some idols made for them. They build a shrine and they hire a Levite to be their priest in a land where the priests were not allowed to serve. Okay? So what has Micah done? Micah has what? He has created his own religion. Many people, even within the church, have created their own religion. This is what I do. This is my house. This is where I'm at. And it becomes full of idolatry and superstition. The reality is that what is an idol? So you be sure that you know that. An idol is anything that you love more than Christ. It can be lots of things, from children to grandchildren, to a job, to money, to a home, to a car, to something you do, to your pride, to your work ethic. Lots of things can be your idol. Okay? But would you know this? That when men do what's right in their own eyes, they will have idols, and they themselves will set themselves up as God. I am king is what we say when we do what's right in our own eyes. Look at chapter 18, verse 1. It says again, in those days there was no king in Israel. In those days there was no king in Israel. And you know, when there's no king, then every man does what? What is right in their own eyes. We're introduced to the tribe of Dan. The last time we've seen the tribe of Dan, or the family of Dan, remember there's 12 families that makes up Israel. The last time we've seen them is they were defeated by their enemy, and they were pushed into the mountains. They couldn't win the war. And now they're wanting to fight for some land. So they send some spies out, and the spies land, guess where they end up lodging at? Micah's house. And while they're at Micah's house, they are introduced to his priest. They're introduced to his idols. They're introduced to his individualistic society. I got a nail on that just a little bit, because I really believe that the move that God is doing through the shelter in our community is caused because of the unity of the believers in our community. You remember Psalms 133:1? When God's people dwell together in unity, God commands the blessing. Not as individuals, together. He commands the blessing. So Dan, they land at his, and they begin to see, and look at what they do. They say, will you tell us, Micah, you and your priest, will you all tell us if we're going to be successful? Golly. When every man does what's right in his own eyes, he'll go to some weird people for counsel. When every man does what's right in his own eyes, he'll seek counsel. Listen, from an eight ball. You remember the eight balls? From a horoscope. From a cookie down at the Chinese restaurant. Huh? We'll seek counsel from crazy stuff when we're doing what's right in our own eyes. But listen, they didn't only seek counsel. They seek counsel, and they're going to win, and they're going to war. But watch what they do. You know what they do? They steal his idol. They steal his shrine. And they kidnap his priest. When every man does what is right in his own eyes, can I tell you theft takes place? Can I tell you that kidnapping happens? Superstition becomes relevant. You know, superstition. Do you understand what I mean when I say superstition? It means I've got the same pair of underwear on for 52 days because I believe they bring me luck. No, that ain't true. That's not true. But it's superstitious to think that you wear something or have something or got something that's going to bring you luck. It's an idol. It's looking for some kind of favor from something other than who? Christ. Some people got a ceremony that they go through. I must do these things. If I do these things as a ceremony, then God's going to have favor on me. Then see, what happens is it doesn't become about Christ. It becomes about the ceremony and the object. It's superstition. So they're carrying these idols, and they got this priest along with them so that they have favor with God. Wow. Look down at the next chapter, chapter 19. In chapter 19, we're introduced to a Levite and his concubine. I want you to get this. The concubine is what? Do y'all know what a concubine is? It is a wife who receives no inheritance. All you ladies want to sign up? Don't sound like a good deal, does it, Amy? Nothing right about that. That's what it was. The concubine was a wife who received no inheritance. The concubine has an affair, and then she leaves and goes to her dad's house. The Levite travels up to dad's house, and he's trying to get the concubine to go back with him, and dad is preventing it, and it's a 2 or 3 day thing. They keep preventing dad from taking his wife. And finally gets to go. And they land in the place of Benjamin, the family of Benjamin on this area. And they land in Benjamin, and watch this, and a family brings them in. And when a family brings them into their house, then all the people around come and begin to knock and pound and press and push in on the door. And they're saying, "We want the Levite. Bring the Levite out that we may know him." They wanted to have relationships with this Levite. When every man does what is right in his own eyes, anything goes. When every man does what is right in his own eyes, would you think about this? The father of the home said, "No, don't take my friend. Listen to this. But take my virgin daughter." I'm come down here because we're going to nail in on this, right? You realize when every man does what is right in his own eyes, he will sacrifice his children. Listen to me. He will sacrifice them on the altar of addiction. He will sacrifice them on the altar of selfishness. He will sacrifice them on the altar of, "I'm doing what's right. Look at me, pride." Children are sacrificed when every man does what's right in his own eyes. That's a little ripping, isn't it? Does that rip you? It rips me a little. To think, this is what Dad said. "Oh, my daughter, it don't matter. Take her." Golly, but we do the same thing. "Oh, it don't matter. You want me to press in here? I don't know if you want me to or not. It don't matter. We'll give them a phone that at a fingertip is pornography. Oh, it don't matter, Chris. Everybody's got one. Just throw pornography in their hand. Oh, my kid will be weird if they don't have a phone. They'll be weird they get addicted to porn." We sacrifice. You know what we sacrifice? We'll sacrifice our kids to be accepted by the community. Oh, hello. Is that right? Is that right? Well, I'm going to move off that. But it's the truth, isn't it? We got to be cautious. Moms and dads, listen to me. You got to be cautious because our culture's pressing in on you and saying, if you don't let them have it, if you don't give them that and you don't do that for it, you're a bad parent. Put your hand up to the culture and say, "Let me tell you something. I'm not a bad parent. I'm a bad parent if I sacrifice my child for your sake. And I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to sacrifice them." She came to love us. Guys, listen to me. So they don't give the daughter. They give the concubine. And these men take that concubine and they sexually abuse her all night long. All night long. They abuse this girl. And when the sun was starting to come up, they let her free. And she made it right to the threshold of the door. Right to the threshold. Can you imagine getting right to the threshold of getting in? She couldn't make it no further. And when they woke up, she was dead. Hey, this is not Criminal Minds. This is a book of Judges. This is real stuff. You know what happens? Hey, will you think about our nation in 2017? You know what happens when every man does what's right in his own eyes? Sexual abuse. It's real, isn't it? It's loud. You know what else happens when every man does what's right in his own eyes? Death. Life doesn't matter. Would you think about this further with me? They take this body and they cut her into 12 pieces. Hey, this is not Jeffrey Dahmer stuff. This is the book of Judges. Read it. They cut her in 12 pieces and they ship her body parts to all the rest of the family. And they say, would you look what our brother Benjamin has allowed? They rise up. Man, when will America rise? When? No, forget America. When will the church rise up and say, enough's enough? Enough's enough. Why are we going to sit in these walls and continue to allow? One of the favorite stories right now that I think's coming out of the shelter right now is a little girl by the name of Katie. So damaged. So selling herself for addiction. So broken. But come in there and could sleep and could eat. But today she's in a rehab. Today she's off that street. Today there ain't a pimp beating her up. Today there ain't somebody abusing her. There ain't a dealer abusing her. She ain't being abused no more. She's in a safe place. You know why? Because God's people rose up and said, enough's enough. We're not going to ignore it. We're not going to walk away from it. We're going to do something about it. Time. It's what God called us for. Somewhere down the road, we decided that God called us to sing three songs, preach a sermon, and go home watch football. I'm going to tell you that ain't what He called us for. It's much greater than that. It's much bigger than that. So then, they go to battle. They're going to do something. So they go to war against Benjamin. And they really ask Benjamin this. They say, will you give up the men? Think about this. Will you give up the men that sexually abused and killed that girl? Would you do that? And Benjamin said, no way. They're a part of us and we're not turning them over. When every man does what is right in his own eyes. And when they didn't turn them over, listen to what happened. So they come to war. Then it gets even crazier. They go to war, they kill all these men. There's a few men left, but there's no women left. All the women are being killed as well. There's a few men left. And then they've made this vow. We're not going to give our brother any of our wives. But then they feel bad about the vow because they said, oh no, our brother, he don't have any wives. And we've made a vow not to give him any. Now what are we going to do? Craziest thing I ever heard. We'll do, when every man does what is right in his own eyes, he will do crazy things to justify breaking his word. You know what they did? Who didn't go to battle with us? Oh, Gibeah. Well, let's go down there and let's kill all the men and all the women. And let's keep the girls who have not had relations with a man. And we'll let them dance. And when they're dancing, the Benjamin men can go and catch them a wife. And then it won't be like we give them to them. Good Lord. Who in the world thinks like that? People who do what's right in their own mind. People who do what's right in their own mind think completely upside down and backwards. Think crazy. Reality, isn't it? But how? So Judges 21:25, you know what it says. This book ends with this verse. It says this right here. It says, and in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. There was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Will you turn back to chapter 2 with me? I want you to see something. I want you to see chapter 2. So how did the children of Israel get there? How did they get to where they just decided that God's word and God's commands and the leaders of God, that they didn't need to listen to them anymore, that they just needed to do their own thing? How did they get there? I'm going to give you two reasons they got there, and I'm done. The first reason is this. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, verse 10 of chapter 2, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which He had done for Israel. How does that happen? How does a generation raise up from out and underneath of Joshua and his elders that don't know God? Let me tell you how. Because it became more important for those kids to fit in at school and to have a phone and all the clothes and everything that they had instead of being right with God and knowing what God wanted for their life. It became more important for the kids to be popular at school than it did for them to be right with God. Whew. Is it real? I'm burdened. Do y'all recognize that? The reality, they had Proverbs 22:5. Train up a child in the way they should go, and he will not depart from them. Now, there's a whole lot to that verse, and I'm not going to get into it, but I'd like to. But I want you to know, you can't train every one of your children up the same way. They're different. You've got to train them according to their bent. According to who they are. Okay? It's not cookie cutter stuff. It's relationship stuff. All right? Knowing them and helping them to get where they are. But they stopped. They stopped doing Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 6, where it says, teach them diligently the law. Write it upon your foreheads, upon the doors, the doorposts, in your house. Have it everywhere. Teach them the Word of God. Look at that right there. Did you read that up there? Any family is one generation away from walking away from God. You realize that? Every family is one generation away from being a family that doesn't serve God. That is scary. But let me give you some hope. Any family is one generation away from following God. All it takes is for one, man. Get man for one that would believe. And then it changes the whole generations after that because one believed and began to walk. Wow. Now listen to me when I say this. I'm going to tell you a statement that me and my wife have made, and you come back to me in 10 years. But I want you to understand that in making this statement, at the end of the day, it becomes their responsibility. But I want you to get this. This is how we feel about this thing passing on to the next generation. Me and my wife have had the attitude that if we fail, If our faith is not passed on to our children, me and her, I don't care how we fed them, I don't care how they clothed them, I don't care what kind of jobs they get when they're grown. If we have not passed our faith on, we have failed as parents. Now listen to me. I realize and I know that there are some parents whose children, they were taught and they were raised, but they walked away. I know that. I understand that. Listen to me. And it may happen to me. Come back and see me in 10 years, okay? But the reality is that I know this too. That if my children stay walking with the Lord, I cannot take credit. It's what He did. If they do not, I cannot take the blame. Because it was their choice. Okay? But with my mentality and my wife's mentality has been, this is the priority of our family. This is the priority. We have never cared. Listen to me. Listen to me, parents. I know I'm on this and I'm pushing in on it. But my wife and I have never cared what my mom thought, what my dad thought. We've never cared what my cousins thought. We've never cared what other parents thought. We've never cared. Because you know why? We're responsible, not them. Now that may affect your grandparents, but you can ask my mom. That me and hers had many conversations, and at the end of the day, when it comes to my children, I have the last word. Not my mother. Okay? Let me give you this next. Show the cycle. Oh, I'm doing good. Will you look at this? This is also what happens. This might be what happens to the children who were raised and they were trained, but they walked away. Well, look at this cycle. This cycle happens 13 times in the book of Judges. Okay? Israel does evil in the eyes of the Lord. Look at what it says. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them and provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord, and they served Baal and Ashtoreth. Listen, Ashtoreth and Baal, that's the husband and wife gods. Okay? The Asherah, listen, she's the fertility god. Two things happened with her. Temple prostitution. Watch this. And the sacrifice of babies. When every man does what's right in his own eyes. How many abortions are we accounted for today? When every man does what is right in his own eyes. You know where they sacrifice them? They sacrifice them to a god named Molech. The fertility god would give them. Now let's take them to Molech. Molech had hands out like this. Underneath him was a fire pit. They would get that fire roaring hot, and his hands would be red hot, maybe even blue. They were so hot. And they would bring and they'd lay that newborn baby in the hands of that god. And he'd be consumed. Listen to me. What do you think abortion is? What do you think walking away from them is? What do you think putting your happiness before them is? It's every bit of that. Sacrificing them. When every man does what's right in his own eyes. But now I want you to watch how this happens. You see, we're standing here and the culture's kind of over there. And the culture's screaming in our ears and in our minds. The culture's screaming to us, it's okay, Chris. It's okay. Just do it. Just be, man, you don't have to be so radical. You don't have to be so crazy. It's all right, Chris. Just settle down. Let's just do this. Don't have to do all that. And the culture's screaming, you have a right not to forgive. The culture's screaming, you don't have to give no money. Don't give nothing. That's craziness. Golly, Bob. And the culture's just screaming at us. It's okay. Watch it if you want to. It's okay. Oh, have an affair. It's okay. Your wife ain't treating you right anyway. Just go ahead and do it. Man, that's what the culture's... And the deal is, as we start moving closer, and we start hearing it, and we start in our mind think, man, it's making sense. They're making sense. This is making sense. And we get to where we can hear them. We get to where we can smell it. We get to where we can taste it. We get to where we can feel it. And next thing you know is we've been conformed to the culture's way of thinking. And the word conform means to be squeezed into their mold. And we're thinking like they're thinking. Every man does what's right in his own eyes. And we're conformed and we're squeezed into this mold. And God, Joshua said to them, you remember this message a couple of weeks ago? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Israel said, we will too. And Joshua said, no, you won't. Remember that? Remember? What did Joshua say, no, you won't for? He said, because God is a jealous God. Remember that? When we get over here in this side and we're playing and we're hanging out and we're flirting and we're just being with other gods, God of Israel says, whoa, wait a minute. Listen, he says, if that's what you want, go get it. And he walks away. What we don't know is that this culture, the end thereof is death. And life becomes miserable. Life becomes full of bitterness. Life becomes just in a ditch, so to speak, but sometimes in a literal ditch. It just becomes junk. And you thought, well, I thought they were teaching me to think right. It's the way Satan works. Satan works in a way that he makes you think, God is not good enough for you. You need this. And when you come to this, death is the end. And God says, you're done. I'm done. And then you know what happens? That way of thinking that you thought was so good, that way of life, you know what happens? It begins not only to rule you and to tell you what to do and how to do it, but it also begins to torment you. Brandon Longmire's told me more than once, and he told me this morning in our Sunday school class, at the end, I can tell you, Chris, all I wanted to do was die. God, if you'll just let me die, I'm done. He came to the end. It was over. You see, because this leads to what? Death. Okay, listen to me. So then you begin to be ruled by this sin. You begin to be ruled by this way of culture, this way of thinking. Every man thinking like it's right, and it's ruling you, and it's killing you. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no rest. Your life is just absolutely miserable, and you hate it, and it'd just be better to be dead. But watch this. But then Israel cried out. This is 13 times. Will you hear me? This is important. Every time they cried out, every time they would walk away from God, they would become married to other gods, they would become tormented and enslaved, they would cry out to the Lord they knew could help them. Listen to me, you got to get this. All 13 times, God heard and delivered. There was not one time that he said, I ain't listening to you again. I'm done with you. There was not one time that he said, no way. But every single time he raised up somebody to deliver them from their mess. Thank God. I don't know about you, but I thank God for those that God has used to deliver me from my messes. Because I've had too many. And God would raise up that judge. And then Israel is delivered. There will be peace in the land. That judge will die. And it will happen again. 13 times. Guys, this is the deal I want to ask you. Where are you at? Where are you at in this little bit of trying to give some kind of a line physically here? Are you in this ditch of death and your life is miserable and you want out? Are you on this side maybe looking over and flirting? Flirting with the other side. Maybe I want the other side. Maybe I'd like to go there. You're flirting with it. Don't flirt too long. You'll end up there. Okay? Or maybe you're here. Okay? And you're hearing the words, you're hearing it, and you're struggling. Remember what Paul said in Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be squeezed into its way of thinking. But be you transformed like a caterpillar into a butterfly. Be you transformed. But how? By the renewing of your mind. Philippians 2 said this, let this mind be in you, which was also in what? Christ Jesus. Guys, it's about our mind. It must be renewed because what? When every man does what is right in his own mind, in his own life, it is death. I want them to come and get a song. And I don't know where you're at. But I hope you're not like the video we showed that was where the guy said, I don't want nobody telling me what to do. I'm going to do my own thing. Brandon, I know I should have asked you before I shared some of those things, but Brandon said, you don't know how many times that I've told my parents I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Leave me alone. So not true, was it, Brandon? So not true. The hurt that goes passes. Wow. You say, I don't know that I want to submit to Christ. Listen, submitting to Christ is life and life more abundantly. Submitting to this culture is sacrifice of children and sexual abuse. It's all of the mess. Christ is the life, guys. Let's stand. Let's sing together.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Amen.
And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a church that's so willing to host the shelter. If you have any questions or anything about that, come and see me. If not, I want to challenge you to get down here and meet the people. Spend some time with them. Love them right where they're at. They're awesome people. Listen to me. I know I'm trying to close, but I want you to get this. This fits us well. Charles Spurgeon had been asked to come to where the death chamber of somebody that was going to die. And Charles Spurgeon walked away from there, and these were the words he said. Had it not been for the grace of God, that would have been me. I'm telling you, had it not been for the grace of God, it could have been us. May we never forget that. I love you. Have a good day. We will have service tonight, but if you watch the Super Bowl, I'll not judge you. But I hope your team loses. Y'all go. See you. Have a good day.